podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And have you got, you've got Norgaard, haven't you?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Who are you going to suggest?
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around the UEFA Champions League fantasy game, James.
Not that as well.
No, it revolves around £50,000. I'm just saying that because I had a stormer yesterday in UEFA Fantasy, and we only do that content for the Patreon. So once in my life when I'm doing all right in a fantasy game, I wanted to just put it out there.
Is that you suggesting you're not doing very well in Sky Fantasy?
Well, after the midweek fixtures last week, I climbed up from 11k to like 9k. I thought, okay, you know, that's real good progress. 2k in a week.
Have a party.
Went back to 11k after the weekend. I'm exactly where I started 2 weeks ago when I was like, this is doing my head in, like never getting anywhere. I made two transfers, which I did on the Thursday last week, and I made no progress whatsoever. Although Christian Norgaard, since I bought him, has got a 4-pointer and a 5-pointer, so that's not been too bad. Cristiano Ronaldo obviously cleaned up last week against Arsenal, but only a 2-pointer this weekend. And I had pretty much captaincy fails throughout the week, mate. Salah, as we did, we all, to be honest with you. But Salah, Cancelo, and Ben White.
I mean, Saturday's captaincies were Salah 5-pointer. I'm grateful for the assist, but it doesn't particularly matter. Cancelo passed here, 4 points. Chelsea players.
How did you get 54 points? That's loads, man.
54 points is low.
I got 40. Loads. No, loads. I got 43, mate. Sanchez got me a 4-pointer. Ben White, 2, as captain. Rudiger, nothing. Cancelo, 4.
So you want to know where the extra points...
Rafinha, 4. Yeah. Ward-Prowse, 2. Yeah. Is garbage. St. Maximin, 2. Norgaard, 5. Salah.
I can't believe he's still got St. Maximin.
Yeah, well, he's moving this week to Bowen, which we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Salah, Kane and Ronaldo, between them, worth 20 points, 10, 8 and 2.
Have you got Rafinha?
Yes, 4 points.
Okay. Have you got Mbeumo?
No.
There you go. There's an assist for Mbeumo. I got Laporte.
Ah, the defensive Laporte.
7 points.
That's it.
Laporte hit... shot tier as well as pass tier 2.
This game's mad.
And I bought Gabriel on Monday night.
Okay.
For Harry Kane.
Oh, you sold Kane.
So that's probably... To be honest, I'd actually concluded after the Brentford game that I was going to sell Kane. I was going to sell him for Emil Smith-Rowe. Well, the amount of people who... I mean, if things had worked out differently, I would have bought Smith-Rowe last Thursday. Now, admittedly, he scored at Old Trafford. But then, so I would have potentially been buying him last Thursday for Gray. The amount of people, myself included, have sold Gray over the last 3-4 weeks. And it just shows you, ironically, that on this occasion, you know, we say, oh, you shouldn't keep a player just because of the captaincy day. This is one of them where it'd have been worth taking two to get the captaincy haul.
Madness.
Yeah, absolutely. And anybody who sold Damari Gray over the last 3-4 weeks or so and is sitting there going, oh my God, I made a mistake. If you've been watching Everton like I have recently, no, you didn't.
Yeah. I agree with you.
You did the right thing.
It came from nowhere, really.
I was watching the first half hour and going, yeah, thank you for my 20 points for Gabriel. It was basically how I was looking at it. This is finishing 1-0 to Arsenal, or it's finishing 0-0. And Arsenal decided to sit back a little bit too much in the second half. But yeah, my theory was with Kane, was looking at it and going, do you know what? I've got competitive options every day that I'm considering captaining him. The reality is, although still on a few days, that he's the best option. And I still believe if the game at Brighton does go ahead, and time of recording, we don't really know where we're at with the Tottenham COVID case. But if the game does go ahead on Sunday, I still think he's the best captaincy option for this Sunday. But I decided there's players that I can go against. There's one in the future, I think it's like Watford New Year's Day. I get to see the Man City team. And I'm thinking, the amount of money that he's costing to sit there, you suck it up and say, do you know what? Even I can put my hands up and go, it's just not justifiable in any way at the moment for him to be there, other than he's the best captaincy option for Sunday. Now, it was easier for me to get rid because I knew I was going into Monday with no Everton Arsenal coverage and I was going to buy on the night. Plan A was Smith Rowe. Plan B was Gabriel. I decided Gabriel was worth the extra over Ben White, and I'm quite grateful to say that the passing numbers on Monday night showed that, actually, because Ben White returned a one-pointer and Gabriel a four-pointer. So I made the conclusion that I didn't, looking further ahead, I didn't need to save that kind of 0.4 wiggle room once I was obviously disposing of Kane.
Yep.
So he's gone. Yeah, listen, shit week as well. So for me, 54 points in terms of, as I said, captaincy at the week, even like Rüdiger. I'm sure there's a few people captain Rüdiger at the weekend. 0-pointer.
Who cares?
What do you mean?
I'll take that 0-pointer from Rüdiger. Wear it like a badge of honour.
West Ham boy in the house.
Yes.
So, yeah, shit show of a weekend. And I'm possibly making as many as 3 more transfers this weekend to clean it up one final time.
Well, we do have midweek fixtures next week. So it's quite congested. We've got Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we literally have six game days in 7 days. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity here potentially to do something. And we'll see. So let's go chronologically, and then you can kind of talk us through any moves you've got planned as well, as will I. Starting with Friday night, Brentford v Watford. You have Fernandes in goal already.
I have Mbeumo as well.
Your preference would be Mbeumo, I'm assuming. Watford have been creating and scoring goals recently. Now, you've said Fernandes is rubbish. They're not going to keep a clean sheet against Watford. In my opinion, they're not going
to. Talking about that last Thursday, about a few people might have bought Smith Rowe on the Thursday to cover captaincy for Monday. I bet a few people bought Tony as well,
missed out
to cover this Friday night. And suddenly you're looking at Monday, Friday, no captaincy. Someone definitely listening has done that. And I feel sorry for you. It's just fucking bad unluck. I would still consider entering.
Bad luck, because bad unluck would be the opposite, wouldn't it?
Bad luck, sorry, forgive me. I would still consider buying for this game Friday. And I would buy
Tony?
Tony's not going to be back.
You'd consider buying a player?
Yeah. Norgard.
Tony's not going to play, no. Yeah, Norgard's sitting there for me, and I'm looking forward to an 8-pointer or a 10-pointer and take it all
I would
the way
still
to the
consider
bank.
Buying him. You've got every chance of pass tackle tier off him in a fixture like this. Maybe even a shot tier, depending on who's taking the long throws and if he's a target from them. So I'd get him in, because what it will do is it will enable you moves. Particularly, say, if you are still sitting there with Kane or Son and the Tottenham game is getting postponed on Sunday, like, genuinely, I would quite happily go Kane or Son to Norgard and move that money Saturday or Sunday. Fire it back into Liverpool or City or Chelsea. Fire it back in. Or like West Ham on Sunday, for example.
So, are you planning on coming off any Brentford or Watford or Brentford assets after the Friday? Straight away, done, bin.
Both of them. I'm not going to look at Norgard because I've obviously got two sitting there already. So, I'm going into Friday night with, call it a luxury, two Brentford players. Mbeumo and Fernandes. I think as it stands, I'll go Mbeumo. Just. Because I think Watford are showing enough at the moment in terms of they'll probably score in games as it stands. And Mbeumo is definitely going to play through the middle. Sergi Canos is suspended. Tony presumably is not going to be back. So there's every chance there's a 90 minutes coming out of him as well, which invariably more recently has not been happening as much. So I think Mbeumo against that Watford defence, yeah, I'm still going to go for it. Then they're both going immediately. Because obviously, having moved Kane to Gabriel, I've got excess cash all of a sudden. This time last week, I had zero. Now I'm sitting there with 3.8 or something. So plan is Fernandes to De Gea on Saturday for United's fixture at Norwich. Gives me the secondary. I've obviously already got Ronaldo now. Gives me the secondary coverage of a United asset, because at some point Ronaldo is going to get rotated for one of them single game days, I'm fairly certain. And the fixtures they've got, the likes of Newcastle, Burnley, Wolves, those three single game days, I think United are going to really improve defensively. I spoke about Harry Maguire as a possible option last week in terms of his consistency, and he'll play every week. I see no reason why De Gea won't play all the games in goal at the moment. Don't see that changing. There's links of Henderson's been linked with a move abroad. I did see last night, I forget who it was. Ajax, actually.
Okay.
Potentially looking at taking him on loan for the rest of the season, possibly.
Okay. He needs to get first team football.
They've had goalkeeping issues with like Onana's drug suspension and stuff like that as well, despite blitzing through the Champions League group stages. And in terms of Mbeumo, that's not confirmed as yet. The one regret in terms of why I really wanted to go Smith Rowe rather than Gabriel is I've landed back in a 5-3-2. Now, the idea with going Smith Rowe was that I would go to Trent on Saturday.
Right.
That's now not going to happen for me. So I think the most likely for me, bearing in mind if I sell Mbeumo, it's got to be a midfield player now, he's probably Bernardo Silva with the form he's in. Just suck it up and go, let's have a run with him. He's nicely priced. I think you want to say he's 8.5 or something, Suj. Mm-hmm. When you think how badly we've desperately been looking for midfielders this season,
yeah.
And suddenly he's there and right in front of our face with the form, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I was surprised when I checked this morning that actually his ownership in the top thousands is over 20%. I was surprised to see it that high. So I think I'm going to have a look at Bernardo Silva probably. And then on Sunday, I'm going to look at one of Alonso, Gabriel or Rafinha to Jared Bowen.
So on the Saturday, are you swinging against Mo Salah at home to Villa with Ronaldo away at Norwich?
No.
You are not?
No, I'll go Salah.
See, Chelsea at home to Leeds. Leeds will be open, create chances. City at home to Wolves in the early kickoff. You'll know the team. Man United, the late kickoff, but possibly the best fixture away at Norwich. It's a difficult Saturday to pick a captain. My gut instinct was to go Ronaldo because of the Norwich fixture, but you think the ownership's too crazy.
Salah, I don't even think it's that. It's Salah in the form and he's at Anfield.
Yeah.
And that's it. What, a Villa suddenly
But he didn't get his game week 14-15 regular season break last week. So is it due this week?
No, but they've got League Cup, not League Cup next
FA
midweek.
Cup or whatever. No, Champions League.
The gap, obviously, he's played last night, which, by the way, you can't tell a Liverpool fan anything against their team because the answer will always start with a word but, because they're so bloody defensive. I think Salah Mane playing last night was insanity, personally. But it looks like they've got away with it. The distance between the Saturday game against Villa and the Newcastle game, Saturday to Thursday, and it's Tuesday to Saturday. So if...
Spaced out well.
So if Salah doesn't play Saturday, you're looking at a period of him not playing for 9 days. And I think with the form he's in, I don't think that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I think Salah, ironically, I think Ronaldo's the more likely to be left out of the two at the weekend. I don't think either will be. But no, Salah at home at Anfield, I'm not going to overthink that.
Okay.
What's Ronaldo's ownership? Top 1K? Don't answer that. 35.3. It didn't go as high as I thought it would.
No.
So I don't think I even necessarily need to as well to have the good result. But I completely get why you would want to consider going against. Like, it's a close call.
Mm.
Ronaldo's playing the weakest defence in the league. And apologies to the Canaries fans. But listen, if Tottenham scoring 3 goals against you, you really are shit defensively. So I'll go Salah, captaincy Saturday.
Yeah. I'm coming off James Ward-Prowse after Saturday and buying Jared Bowen on Sunday as well.
So what are you doing with Saint-Maximin?
Saint-Maximin, might have to suck it in.
Have you got Gallagher?
No.
Get Gallagher on Sunday as well, man. The fuck?
With Saint-Maximin, I'm going to have to take a hit. I'm not going to get a fixture game because he plays last in the midweek fixtures and he plays on the Sunday as well. So I'm not going to be able to get a fixture gain on him. But then his next two fixtures are Leicester and Liverpool. I might as well just be done with it.
I want to draw your attention to Palace's fixtures, okay? Everton, Southampton, Watford, Tottenham, Norwich, West Ham, the Friday night game against Brighton, right? Good run of fixtures in any case. This is the last chance to get fixture gain on Crystal Palace is this Sunday. Every game afterwards,
but I won't get fixture
Saturday
gain,
or Tuesday.
I won't get fixture gain off Saint-Maximin because he plays Sunday as well. But he plays Leicester and then Liverpool, so
why
just be done with
you
it.
Sell Saint-Maximin.
I didn't think Conor Gallagher would do anything against Man United, which he didn't really. And I wanted to buy Jared Bowen and I was looking for an entry point into Jared Bowen instead.
All right, you're going to end up coming back for that Palace, Brighton. Admittedly, we don't really know where Brighton are at with the kind of defensive issues at the moment. I'm going to bet we've got a Doist Dunk question in the queue somewhere, so we come back to it. But you can, for that Friday night game, I know it's a while away.
Yeah, but I've got Sanchez sitting in goal, by the way, just as a...
Oh, right, so you've got coverage.
Mm.
Okay, well then
so it's not a decision
not
around
a
captaincy.
Deal.
No.
But Saint-Maximin's still got to get burnt out of that team, mate.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. So Ward-Prowse and Saint-Maximin will
always
go to
Bowen. See, Newcastle are the opposite. They're always on last.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So when are you coming off, mate?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm going to just have to pull the plaster off on...
Do you know what? If you want to keep him for Leicester, the way they defend at the moment, I don't really hate that. But for them midweek fixtures, when they go to... Then it's Liverpool-Man City. Like, sod the fixture game, mate. Just bin it.
I will. Let's talk about Sunday. I still own Harry Kane. You have sold Harry Kane. I bet you're regretting selling Son over Kane, sitting in a cold Burnley shopping centre in the snow.
Not really, because if the game does go ahead on Sunday, I suspect
Son's not going to play.
I suspect Harry Kane will be available and Heung-Min Son won't be, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rumour at the moment with Spurs' COVID situation.
That would also mean that Heung-Min Son would be unavailable almost certainly for the game at Leicester next Thursday as well, in which case it would put him into the definite sell bracket. Especially when the game he would come back for, possibly half fit, is Liverpool. Not good at all. So, I mean, yes, in hindsight, do I wish I'd kept Son rather than Kane when I was standing in the mall in the snow in Burnley? Yeah, but I don't regret the decision to keep Kane.
No, of
Kane,
course, it was logically right.
Yeah.
Are you going to captain on Sunday?
Well, all I've got at the moment is Gallagher.
All I've got and going to have is Bowen.
But
Sanchez,
the intention is to buy Jared Bowen, and I'm quite relaxed about it. There are three options, which I mentioned: Alonso, Gabriel, Rafinha. Move one of them on. I think the least likely is Rafinha, because I just feel like once I've got rid of one dodgy fixture, then there's only three dodgy fixtures to go. And there's definitely, looking further down the line, when they host Burnley at home on Sunday the 2nd, I think I want to captain Rafinha.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I know it's possibly the two transfers to move him out and move it back in. So there's every chance he'll stay for me. And Alonso's already one where I'm not saying it was the bad move to buy him, and he is fit. Like, he's in the squad for Chelsea this evening. I'm already just reflecting on it and going, he's not a sky asset. He's a brilliant price, but he doesn't do what I want a defender to do in sky, which is pick me up tears. The only tears he's going to get me are shots. And obviously, look, if he has a day where he has a shot tier and he scores, of course, the ceiling is massive and high. But in a couple of games I've seen of it so far, actually, I would put my hands up and say, I don't see it at the moment. I don't see it. I think it's potentially having a negative impact on Reece James as well. Although I think it's probably more a case of Chelsea's issues in the midfield area, lack of Kovacic, Kante. Kovacic has had a setback. I know Kante's still unavailable tonight. Means that they're not functioning quite right at the moment. Like, any two of the three, Kante, Kovacic and Jorginho, is brilliant. You take two of them out, though, and it's not quite right, and I think it's having an impact. So it might even be that I look at just cutting out Alonso. Bowen will then play twice before Alonso plays again, and in the game afterwards, Bowen's got Norwich at home. So I think at the moment, the more likely is Alonso to go. Because I know Gabriel, with the fixtures Arsenal got, he'll hit some passing tears. I know it. Today he's an injury-prone bastard. So I think if I buy Bowen on Sunday, and that's not a certainty, I will go Bowen captaincy at Burnley rather than Gallagher against Everton, I think.
Yep.
Particularly as we talk Palace on tomorrow's Clash of Correspondence with Mig and Sean previewing the Palace-Everton game on Sunday. And it's really blurred with Palace at the moment in terms of the amount of attacking options they've got and what it actually means for Gallagher. Whereas I'll get to see the West Ham team and I'll know where Bowen's playing within that. And I think, yeah, I'll go Jared Bowen. If I buy him, I'll captain Jared Bowen, I think, on Sunday. Mm.
On the Tuesday, Man United are the early game away at Brentford. Crap. But City are the late game against Leeds, but it's only half an hour between them. So you'll know the team.
I haven't even thought that far ahead.
Okay, well, it's all within the same match week.
I really have. It's dependent somewhat on the City team. I want to say Ronaldo's at Brentford.
Yeah, Ronaldo away at Brentford early, and then the City guys Leeds have got Leeds at home. So if you see a Cancelo or Diaz or Laporte in the team, you might opt that. But then Bamford is back.
I think he's had a setback.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I'm sure I saw. On that, because this is really important on Leeds. One of our patrons pointed out to me last night, Calvin Phillips is out up until February.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a yikes. And word is another injury is Patrick Bamford.
Ooh.
So it's rumoured that Bamford's had a setback. So, but Leeds being Leeds, they're the sort of team who can cut off the passing tiers. Because, I mean, if Bamford is available, he just sits between the two centre-backs and stops the centre-backs passing to each other, which actually, in an odd way, actually probably leads more to Cancelo. Because what Bamford likes to do is force centre-backs to come out so that he can get beat in behind them if they win the ball on transition. So it might even be that that adds to the strength of Cancelo. I'll obviously watch Brentford Friday night. That might have an influence on the decision as well.
I'm going Ronaldo as it stands at the moment. I'm not going to overthink it.
I'm bust Cancelo at the moment. I mean, that's really close call. I'm bust Cancelo at the moment if he's in the team against Leeds.
Wednesday night. What are your thoughts around Wednesday?
So Wednesday's a more difficult one. So it's Gallagher, who's got Southampton at home. Obviously, now I've got Gabriel home to West Ham, and I've Bowen away to Arsenal. I think that's very dependent on what I see and what I feel when it comes round. And we'll look at that, obviously, next Wednesday in terms of a bit more detail. Because it's a really open set of fixtures that you obviously should be aware of.
I'd back Bowen. I've got Sanchez at home to Wolves as well. And I'm back Bowen. I think West Ham will beat Arsenal midweek.
It could be. Remember, it is at the Emirates.
It is. But I just think we'll have too much intensity for Arsenal. Get in their faces a little bit. And they sit in
that's one game I don't mind if you win, mate.
Yeah, of course. I think I might go Bowen, you know. Over
could be.
Else.
I mean, we don't have to force ourselves into that decision now. I think for most people, it probably will default to being Conor Gallagher, actually. You've got Arsenal at home to West Ham, Brighton at home to Wolves. So, I mean, I think most people will have sold what they've got Wolves by now or are selling. Unless they've earmarked it for the captaincy at Brighton, which I don't quite see. The chances are whatever Brighton coverage you've got is probably injured. Unless, like yourself, Sid, you've obviously got Sanchez in goal, which is an option. Wolves have only scored 12 goals this season, so I wouldn't hate it. I always think that's not a bad move. If in doubt, default to a goalkeeper if you think he's got a chance of a cleanie.
Yeah.
What else you got that night? Burnley against Watford and Palace against Southampton. So it might be by default for many people, it would probably be Gallagher.
Mm-hmm. Lack of ownership of other assets.
Yeah, it could be. And the Thursday, I think Salah.
Oh, I'm going to say Maxima.
Yeah, of course you are, mate.
No. For me, Salah as well on the Thursday night.
I mean, look, you see the team. If he's playing at home to Newcastle, then I don't really think that's one to...
Try and be clever.
I actually really think Liverpool will go off that night. Like fours or fives.
Thursday night, yeah. They'll get they start games so well, Liverpool, sometimes. So, and there we go. That's the captaincy for the upcoming week. So for me, I've only got two moves planned. Jared Bowen's going to be coming in. And when Ward-Prowse... Let's even have a look, James. How much money I would get left if I bought Jared Bowen and sold Ward-Prowse and St. Maxima.
Well, you'd be on basically... You're just removing St. Maxima, basically, aren't you? What's Ward-Prowse? So it's very similar.
It'd be very similar. 8.2 is Bowen. So I have 8.8 million for a midfielder. Bernardo?
Well, exactly that, possibly, yeah.
It's just a bit lame that we're both making exactly the same transfer. So I'll see if I can buy a different player.
At the end of the day, it's a template game. I get what you're saying. You probably want to look at doing it elsewhere or so. Let's have a look at players in and around that value. So...
8.8 million.
Madison, Harvey Barnes. I don't mind Harvey Barnes, mate. 8.6 as a move on Sunday. But then I think they've got Liverpool and City coming up. That doesn't feel ideal. Bernardo, the obvious one, 8.5. Saka is not worth paying the 1 million more on Smith Rowe if he's back available. Jorginho, but apparently he's got a back complaint, 8.3.
Or just stick with Conor Gallagher and save the money and do something elsewhere.
To be honest, you can't look in that area at the moment and not say... That at the lower level, Bowen and Rafinha, obviously, if you want to hold on to the outstanding assets, and then to go up at sort of in between 8.5 and 9 is Bernardo Silva. Mason Mount's 9.2, Gundogan's 9.3, Foden's 9.6, Mahrez's 9.8, Sancho's 10.3. Not going there, mate.
No.
So I think realistically, if that's the value you want to be in and around... But I would, honestly, Serge, who's your defence at the moment?
Cancelo, Rudiger and Ben White.
So you only got three?
Mm-hmm.
And have you got Norgaard, haven't you?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Who are you going to suggest?
Oh, no. Can you go to Trent on Saturday?
No, I don't have enough money.
It's a shame.
Yeah, unless I sold Harry Kane.
Well, if the game's off...
Then I'll consider getting rid of Harry Kane.
And
sure.
I think, by the way, that's what a lot of people will do. If the Tottenham games are called off, people will sell Kane. That's fairly obvious, or even sell Son. And I think at the moment, the obvious one, we say Ronaldo's ownership hasn't gone up as much as we thought. Obviously, people are going to buy Ronaldo on Saturday, aren't they? Norwich away, great fixture swing. Kane's out, fine, bang, into Ronaldo. But those who might already be sitting there, for example, with the freemium, all the three big players, then I think they'll go back to Trent and Van Dijk and stuff like that, I think,
yeah,
with the two home games Liverpool got coming up. And then ironically, this whole idea of let's jump between Ronaldo and Salah, hop on, hop off. I'm just sitting there now with Ronaldo and Salah, and it's Kane. I'm sure it's only this time last week I said to you, Kane's going nowhere.
Mm.
But after Thursday night, I had a rethink, and I just thought, you know what, value-wise, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it. If Kane's playing and Cancelo's playing the same day, I'm captaining Cancelo. And at that point, I think I have to say, why am I spending £12 million on this forward? And we talk about it taking up like a spot. It's going to open up other opportunities possibly for, you know, downgrading to Watford, for example.
Mm.
Probably, by the way, if you are looking at that for Friday night, probably because the African Nations, Josh King is probably the safer option for...
just in case you need to hold him out longer.
Dennis has been named. Mm. We had a discussion on Monday's
podcast.
He is in
the Nigeria squad, is he?
He's not in it. He's in a provisional list of 40 players.
Oh, wow. That's a big list.
So that's obviously going to get narrowed down, but he's on that provisional list. So there is a chance that he will go to the African Nations. And obviously what you would really want of Dennis longer term, if you were to buy him through the overhaul, is obviously the Norwich captaincy day, which could happen on Friday the 14th. Although if one of them draws in the third round of the FA Cup, that wouldn't be a single game day anymore. And obviously that's one of the games that Dennis would miss.
Mm.
So I think if you were looking to downgrade and look at the Watford forwards, I've got my eye on Josh King. I've kind of got him in a place point in my mind at the moment where, because of the spare cash and opening up that forward position, I don't mind sticking him in there, actually, because I've got a good long sustained run and he's cheap as. And I'm looking at him as a conscious, when I pick up an injury issue, because there's no good entry point for them, I might just stick him in.
Okay. Should we look at some of the questions we've had on Twitter? Because it will cover off a lot of the talking points that we need to cover off anyway. The first two questions come together. Jay says, Lewis Dunk, help. And should there be there? Is Rodri being overlooked? I'm going to get him in for Dunk. We just mentioned a bunch of midfielders there. If you had to go sideways to a defender at the same price, what would you do? And if you had to go to a midfielder, we've mentioned a few there. We didn't mention the likes of Rodri or Declan Rice even, or any of these guys, but all fair considerations. I just think Rodri's more expensive than Bernardo, for example, so you wouldn't do it, would you?
What's obviously really sexy about Rodri, and it's brought it up even more into kind of microscope, is he's picked up pass and tackle tier in the last three games.
Oh, wow, okay.
Is consistent pass and tackle tiers sustainable? I'm not convinced. Is he a very good kind of ticking over asset at 8.7? Yes, he is. Is he more guaranteed of passing tiers than Bernardo Silva? Absolutely, yes, he is. But I think at Bernardo Silva, we're at stage now as well, Serge, a good performance. He's picking up man of matches as well.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get his own bonus that way and through shot tiers and stuff. He's just flying, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's absolutely flying, and he's cheaper than Rodri. I'm not going to tell anyone, don't buy Rodri. He's a very good asset at 8.7 million. And I want to say 24 points over the last three games. A little bit short of that, 22 points. Certainly highlights that and makes it stand out. So, obviously, if someone is passing tier and tackle tier three games in a row, of course, people are going to be looking at it. But I would still buy Bernardo. Lewis Dunk. To be honest, I would look at Liverpool if you've got the budget, Trent, Van Dijk, and I would look at Bernardo Silva.
Mm.
The chances are Bernardo Silva is going to open you up to get rid of another midfielder you probably don't want well. So that's where I'd be looking. Dunk and Silva are a very comparable price as well. There's 0.1 difference. So unless you're sitting there with literally nothing in the bank, it should be a move that anybody can make. dunk to Bernardo, and that would probably be my preference. It's going to probably, like, if you're sitting there with Mbeumo as well, it's going to, if you move dunk to Bernardo on Saturday when City play, then you can go Mbeumo. That might be, then Mbeumo becomes the Liverpool player, for example, or you just go dunk to Liverpool and Mbeumo to Bernardo, however you want to look at it. Options, I have to think at the same price, Bernardo would be my preference.
FF Thinker has got no Tony. Who's the best captaincy for Friday? King to cover two captaincies rather than the AFCON bound Dennis or Norgaard? Well, who would you pick if you had to pick King or Norgaard?
Or, by the way, just to add another one to Dunk as well, obviously if you are sitting there with two up front, consider Josh King. 7.6.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And if you don't have the coverage Friday night, personally, if you ask me, a best captaincy option for that game on Friday night, in my opinion, would be Josh King.
FPL Bono's got to replace Jose Sarr in goal, got 0.8 in the bank. Is David De Gea the best simple option there? For a sustained period, probably.
He should have gone Sunday.
Okay.
You know, that shit really pisses me off. You should have bought on Sunday. You've just let 11 or so points go past you. And there's not a reason really to wait on that. What did he get at the weekend? 9 points to Gea.
Yeah.
Thing is, you're now looking at the keepers on Sunday to try and get the game, and none of them are brilliant. Like, Schmeichel gets a save tier every game, basically, but he also concedes two goals every game. So that's not really doing you any good. Sanchez, if the game goes ahead on Sunday for Brighton. Otherwise, the games you wanted, they're all playing the same day. This is where the planning is so important. You can't then look. You can't look at it a week after and go, "Oh, Sanchez is playing on. I just played Liverpool. I'll wait till next week when I'm then looking at Man City." That move's got to happen earlier. To be honest, that move really should have been made when United played Arsenal on Thursday. Never mind last Sunday, really. So, I would want to get the game of fixture, but I'd also be looking at a game where I can't go back to De Gea now, because psychologically I've missed the 9 points. So honestly, if the Brighton game's on Sunday, I would still consider Sanchez. It will arguably give you a captaincy coverage for the Brighton Palace further down the line. You just leave it, he's cheap.
Yeah. For people on the threemium, or just anyone unlucky enough to have Kane, is it a move to one of the Liverpool defenders with the outbreak at Spurs? Even if Kane isn't one of the ones affected, it's obviously going to affect the team because you're going to miss other key players, so I just think it's a move off.
What do I always say about the problem with Kane is?
No one's giving him the ball.
No one's giving him the ball. You want to take Son and Lucas out of the team as well? Oh my God, mate.
Well, maybe someone will give him the ball now because they don't want to give him the ball.
No, that's not the case, mate. But it's worth saying, obviously, Brighton have big defensive issues as well. Dunk, we believe, is out to at least New Year. We don't know the prognosis. We don't know the prognosis of Webster, but we know that they're probably both definitely out this weekend. Shane Duffy suspended this weekend as well. Joel Veltman got a whack in the face, will probably be okay. So not that. That's the other flip between saying, "Oh, give Kane Sunday," and I get that. Like, if you're asking me, if the game goes ahead, Kane is still the best captaincy option on Sunday. I agree with that. I decided to cut my losses. I think if the game is off, most people will go to Ronaldo on Saturday, and this isn't something that's going to get called off on Sunday morning. We're going to know about it before. I think that's fairly obvious. So you move to Ronaldo on Saturday. If you haven't got, I think that's straightforward. If you have already got Ronaldo, like I said, I think people are going to go Liverpool defensive, Trent or Van Dijk.
Dave Perrin wants to know, you have to rank four players in order of top to bottom, factoring in their price. Trent, VVD, Diaz, Rodri.
Trent, VVD, Diaz, Rodri.
Rank them 1 to 4, factoring in their price.
In the order that you said it, I think. Trent, VVD, Diaz, Rodri. And the reason I say that is, I think Trent and Robbo are clear, Trent and Van Dijk are clear of the cheaper Liverpool players, i.e. Matip. Most of you will know, I know it's become a bit of a running joke, but I think he's a very good asset when he plays. But I don't know if from one game to the next, if it's him or Konate. And with the fixtures congesting, Matip's obviously not going to be playing every game anyway. So I think they're clear. Whereas I look at Diaz, and I'm very happy with the two cheaper Man City players I've got, which is Cancelo and Laporte. I think Laporte's got the edge on Stones. So I'm very happy to have Laporte there at 9.1 at the moment with very low ownership. Maybe I'll finally get the payoff of this because I've been on the double City for so long and not had anything out of it. And this happened last year where it was like, oh, goal conceded over and over. And then eventually they went off, didn't they? Mm. And about 7-8 games in a row, they only conceded about one goal. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're very tight over this period. Mm. So I think Diaz comes below the Liverpool players because you can... I mean, Cancelo is obviously a better option than Diaz at the moment. And I think Laporte is. I know he's a little bit more of a rotation risk, but I think he's first choice.
Barry Allen, first season playing, 28 transfers left. Is that good, bad at this stage? It's okay.
It's good.
Yeah, you're doing well.
There isn't, we covered this a bit last week. I don't believe there's a good, bad, you know, it depends on your style, depends on your circumstance. If you've obviously had a shit ton of injuries, you've used more transfers than many other people, for example, it might be you haven't had injuries and therefore you've used less. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think it looks like I'm going to get to overhaul and probably be spending more transfers than what I'd planned to. But I need to get them done now. I think if I get these three done this weekend, then that really is me done, except for injuries. If I get an injury, I'm like I said, I'm going to look at Josh King. And the only other one then is to move Salah ahead of the African Nations, which there's some speculation that went round on Reddit last night that the African Nations date may move and get brought forward to a start date of Monday the 3rd of January. Now, if that's the case, Mo Salah is definitely going to miss Chelsea away on Sunday the 2nd. That becomes a certainty. Where at the moment, there's some debate, and I think he would be available. The thinking behind that is, where they've scheduled the Club World Cup, actually, I think, kind of overlaps with the preliminary stages of the Club World Cup overlaps with the end of the African Nations. Now, this doesn't matter too much for European clubs and players like Salah and whatnot. But for players who play, I think it's Al Hilali, I want to say. I might have that wrong. Is the African qualifier for the Club World Cup. They play a round earlier than, say, Chelsea.
Yep.
In the Club World Cup. And so if Egypt are in the final and their team's in the Club World Cup, I can't play both. So that's the thinking behind potentially moving the African Nations forward. It was just something I saw went round as a rumour on Reddit last night. I've not seen anything substantiated on that. But again, if you've got African players, it's something to certainly be aware of, that the date could even be brought forward.
A few questions that we've answered. So Alex Gammon, thank you for your question around Dennis and King. A name that gets mentioned a few times that has been by Darren Altericlose. Also, our friend Luke NDN has asked about a certain player called Fred, 7.8 million, I think he is. Or 7.6 million, one or the other.
He's 7.6.
Six, that's it. As an alternative to De Gea or second City coverage, or second United coverage. Any temptation?
I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get it. I don't know if someone shouted him out on one of the other Sky shows and they really rate him and that's influenced people's thinking because it creates the group think. Maybe it has. Personally, I don't get it. They've played Arsenal at home, whoopee-doo, he got a couple of assists. This is unusual, that's unsustainable. He's played Palace at home, yes, he scored. Yes, he hit passing and tackles here, and yes, he also picked man of the match. If Fred gets another 16-pointer this season, I will be stunned.
Yeah, me too.
And if you look before that, people go, oh, he was brilliant at Chelsea as well. Okay, I don't see any tackle tier or anything at Chelsea. I look at other games, 2 points v City, 3 points versus Tottenham, 1 point versus Liverpool. Earlier in the season, there was a passing tier against Everton. Everyone of fucking any scope hits a passing tier against Everton. Tackles here against Villa, great. Passing tackles here, West Ham. Passing tier against Wolves. A goal against Leeds opening day. I don't see it.
Okay.
I don't see that at all. And if you want a second United asset, wait till... If that African Nations is going to happen earlier. My plan in my strategy anyway is to sell Salah after Leicester on the 28th. And buy Fernandes on Thursday the 30th. Or even possibly go one earlier, skip Salah on the 28th and buy Bruno Fernandes if necessary when they play Newcastle on the 27th. That's my strategy. Or obviously building towards a four in midfield, I can go with something even more secure from Salah, such as Maguire. Now, I've got De Gea. So it might even mean that I'm going to end up on three United. It might mean that I don't need to move that. It might be that Salah as my luxury transfer becomes Josh King nearer the time, for example. But Fred would not be top of my list. I don't, personally, I don't see that. Which means, he's about to go off. I don't see it personally. I would not say that Fred is a better option than Declan Rice.
Well, let's leave the last question of the show to Gary Mantle, who says, do you think Declan Rice is going to start hitting tiers again now the fixtures are easing? Also changing formation for West Ham. Also maybe potentially a stick in changing formation for West Ham because of injuries. Now we know Zouma's out for a while. And Ogbon has obviously been out for a little while, so it might be more of three at the back. Does that mean that he's picking the ball up less from the centre-backs because one of them can bring it out and don't necessarily need to give him the ball for simple 1-2s? He's not on my radar, to be honest with you. Any thoughts for you to want to put Declan Rice back on your radar?
No, because I'm not stuck for money having now moved Kane on. But my thinking was maybe Rice for this Sunday. You've known of mentioned Sunday the 12th for a long time for West Ham as the right entry point to go back. I mean, Antonio is also definitely an option if he's still sitting at 8.8, but it feels like it's been a while. Antonio last hit a shot here. This is interesting. Against Leeds, 25th of September was the last time he hit a shot.
He scored in that game.
And that's the only one since game week 3 that he's hit shots here. And yes, it was a 90th minute 7-pointer essentially. Rice, I don't mind. Like if you're struggling for the budget and stuff, I really don't mind if you want to get him. I suspect some of these fixtures might not be as straightforward as they look in terms of the odd passing tier. Like Norwich, look at the amount of passes that the Norwich centre backs put together at Tottenham at the weekend. Tottenham played counter attack against Norwich. Tottenham are going to play counter attack every game by the looks of it. At least it's more structured than what it was previously. Yeah, I don't mind Declan Rice, and like I said, I prefer that to Fred. Personally, I don't even know what the entry point is for Freddie. Is it a case that people have gotten Bumo and they're thinking,
where do we go from
here? I haven't got the money, what do I do with it? It's possible, and I get that. Fine. I'd buy Rice on Sunday, I think. I'd prefer. Or shove something else. Like, if Kane's off, fine, move Kane to something and then move Mbeumo further up to Bowen or a defensive player or something. I'm not into... So Fred, what, I feel that was another part to that question.
No, it was literally, well, we started talking about Fred and then talked about Rice and his tears. It'll tick along, but he won't tear it up.
What do you think about, I will ask you about a player, Suj. What do you think about Issa Diop?
What price is he?
7.1.
I don't think he'll get a huge amount of tears.
No.
He's a threat at set pieces.
Yeah.
He will keep some clean sheets for sure in this period. And he's likely to play with the injuries that we have. He won't get you tier points necessarily. So you'll get the odd clean sheet and you'll get the odd attacking return and that's it. But 7.1, isn't it what you expected from Adam Webster, for example? He's in the same bracket.
With Webster, you'd expect some passing tiers. Whereas I would not expect Issa Diop to be picking up passing tiers.
No, you might get the odd tackle.
Although, if teams park the bus against you, which actually, although the fixtures look good, I wouldn't anticipate. If you play as a back three, he'll play as a central, won't he? Be Cresswell left, Dawson right.
Or do you think
Dawson in the middle with Diop right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't fucking rate Dawson for passing tiers.
No.
He's slightly more expensive than Diop. But I'll tell you what, there you go. If you want an ultra differential to carry you through to overhaul, I'd say Issa Diop at 7.1. West Ham have good fixtures and he's pretty locked, but yeah, there's no tears in it.
Nice. You've pre-recorded tomorrow's Clash of the Correspondents with Sean and Mig. Sean's in a better mood.
Joe, it's a really good laugh, actually, because the conversation really bounces nicely between me trying to make decisions on Palace fantasy assets with Mig. No interest in Everton ones yet, so it really bounces between a fantasy conversation
and
Everton's crisis, which is slightly better, obviously, from winning on Monday. Sean was in a really good mood.
Nice.
He's seen his team win for the first time in 3 months. So I don't blame him.
And on Friday, we've got a wildcard reveal for James. I'm not on wildcard for FPL, so make sure wherever you're listening to this podcast, you're subscribed because you'll get notified as soon as the rest of our content for this week goes out. And if you want more FPL content, Planet FPL content specifically, just head over to patreon.com/planetFPL where you can find out more about all of the different tiers that we have that you can come and support the show, get an extra pod a day, access to our Slack channel and some prize leagues and a few other bits and pieces as well. So good thing to do. Other than that, hopefully your Sky Week is better than last week. That's what I'm saying.
I just hope it's better any week than mine.
Indeed.
Do you know what? For about 4 or 5 weeks, I generally, week on week, I don't know if I've gone up or down. I just feel like I've been in the same place non-stop.
Yeah, yeah. It really is treading water at the moment. But water we will tread. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck this week. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.